time to tell the neighbors the Charlie Evers Show is on. It's time that you can listen to eras long bygone. So email all your loved ones or call them on your phone and tell them Charlie Evers is on. It may be terminal wrinkles, it may be Hillary's hair, it may be on top of the courthouse, you bet old Charlie's there. You may be invited to dinner, but tell them you can't come. The Charlie Evers is on.
All right, and here we are. The day after the elections. Hey, all right. A lot of people got out to vote, but a lot of people didn't. A lot of people said, I'll just stay home. And they did. But all in all, the mayor continues on for another term. And we have some new people. And, of course, you've all heard the results, I'm sure. And if not, give us a dingy-ringy. Okay. So, I looked up, too. I was curious about the mayor of Bucyrus. He won by a huge margin, because so many things good have been going on in Bucyrus that not many people had any complaints. Okay. And, well, let's see, in Clarendon Township, the township fiscal officer is now Janet Stiverson, the wife of a county commissioner, so we have two members of one family serving two political positions in Marion County. The one being financial officer for Clarendon Township. And what that means is Janet Stiverson will take the place of what was his name? He's been there for years. Is sign the paychecks and do things like that and keep track of, you know, all the deposits and so forth and so on. Make out payroll. That's the financial officer for Clarendon Township. And a lot of people didn't even know there was a financial officer, I would suppose. Wayne Crum. Now, Wayne Crum was, and he retired. He went after years and years and years. He signed all my paychecks when I was a member of the zoning board. And so Wayne did a good job. It's interesting to me, though, that Wayne Crum had the same name as a personal friend of mine in Crawford County in Bucyrus, Wayne Crum, who had Crum Appliance. And the man that worked for Crum Appliance was a ham radio operator and came out of World War II, a real efficient code operator, and helped me get along in Morse code. So it's interesting how things turn around, and quite interesting. Now, I've got a note here. It was sent to me that the Clarendon United Methodist Church on State Route 95 right in Clarendon will hold its 42nd Bazaar Saturday, November the 9th. Now, this is the 5th. Oh, so that's this Saturday, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Homemade gifts, baked goods, sweets, homemade noodles, crafts, and more. That's been going on for more years than I can remember. I can remember a lot of them. And then there's a neighborhood supper, a free meal, the second Tuesday of each month at 5:15 p.m. at Trinity Baptist Church. And that will start November 12th, December the 10th, January the 14th, February 11th, March the 10th, and April the 14th. Now, can you tell me, let me see what kind of prizes I've got here. I bet I got tickets to the zoo. And how are you? Let me see what I've got here. All right. Do we have zoo tickets? Uh-huh. Ooh, I got an Applebee's thing here. A $5 Applebee's? I sure do. Yeah. All right. And what else do I have here? Okay. Got somebody that has to pick their prize up next week. Let me look here. See what else we got. Here's another. What is this? McDonald's. Let me see. It's fun and easy to reload, reuse, and enjoy the new Arch card. I didn't know there was such a thing. At participating McDonald's restaurant, an Arch card. Okay, well, I've got one of those. I don't know how much it's worth. I have to ask the guys when they come in here. Okay. Whoops. What else? I'm trying to reach over here to my left. Okay, and I've got, what is this? McDonald's gift card. Okay, another. All right, and how much is that worth? You can reload your Arch card at any participating McDonald's. In other words, you can put money in on this. I don't know how much money is on it right now. I have to get some of this clarified. Okay. So, let me see here what else I've got. Little Caesars. Oh. Okay. Redeemable for food or beverage only at participating Little Caesars. Okay. I don't know. Just offhand, I have to ask. Okay. So now, let me ask you. I know. Here's a good question. And I'll have to clarify what these prizes are worth. But there was one famous member of Trinity Baptist Church. Well, there might have been more than one. But there's one, I think they even put his name tag on a pew at Trinity Baptist. Now, who would that have been? He was a well-known guy in Marion and had his own brass tag on his pew. Now, let me tell you, speaking of pews, I could tell you about the Old North Church in Boston. Now, that is where Paul Revere supposedly hung his lantern. And I was in there once on a tour. I took a whole group from Marion into the Old North Church. And people sat in, not in regular pews, but they sat in boxes with charcoal heaters. Now, can you imagine a whole church full of charcoal heaters? The carbon monoxide. Oh, my. But that's what they had. They had charcoal heaters and to warm your feet in the Old North Church in Boston. If you ever see a picture of it, you'll say, yes, I know. In there are these square boxes for the people. Kind of interesting. But once again, don't forget, this weekend, Saturday, is the Clarendon United Methodist Church Holiday Bazaar. 42 years it's been doing that. Well, hey, they must have started right after we came to Clarendon. We've been there about 45 years in Clarendon. All right. Homemade gifts, baked goods, sweets, homemade noodles. People really go for those homemade noodles. You know, people out in the country and know how to make noodles. And, of course, they use a lot of eggs and so forth, like a good noodle maker uses. Okay. Oh, I've got a phone call. Well, now that's nice. Okay. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Charlie.
Yes.
The name that's on the pew, would that be President Harding?
Yes, Warren G. Harding.
I just heard that not too long ago.
Is that right? Yes.
Yeah, or maybe I've read it somewhere in these books that I get. But in our church, Prospect Street, United Methodist, across from the fire department, they'll have their bazaar this year also on Saturday.
Is it this Saturday?
Yes.
Okay.
And it sounds very much like Clarendon, you know, with everything that's the food, and well, they do serve breakfast and lunch there. And so I just wanted, I didn't know if anybody had called in for that or
no,
not.
Not that I know of, so you're the first to announce it.
All right, Charlie. Yeah.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. Okay. Yeah, I'm surprised Howard Seckel hasn't called. Howard's a member of that church, he and his wife. Okay, so the Prospect Street Methodist Church has their bazaar this weekend on Saturday. So does Clarendon United Methodist. All right. And next week is the second Tuesday of each month, November the 12th. That would be, what, 7 days from today, yes. Well, eight days from today. Where is it? Let me see here. Yesterday is what day? I've got March. My watch has a it's kind of crazy. It says today is March the 14th. Well, it's anything but that, isn't it? Okay, now, so what do you think of the election last night? Didn't this station have tremendous election coverage? I was really amazed. We sat at home listening to this station, and just great, all the coverage they had. And that's nice that we were able to fill in for what used to be a similar coverage, but not to the extent that this station had last night. I mean, Scott and his crew did a wonderful job. Glenn Coble and, Terry Tackett, Sean Kraft, and the lady who has the program during the week. She was at the Board of Elections, did such a tremendous job. Okay, her name passes right over me now. Oh, here we go. Just a second. Yes, go ahead, caller.
Hey, good morning, Charlie. I missed hearing you last night.
Oh, well, yeah, I was home resting.
Yeah, I knew you were. That's a first time for quite a while that you've missed doing an election night.
Yeah, that's right. That's right, yeah.
Hey, I just wanted to call and report on the Dinner with the Presidents last Saturday.
Yeah, Terry was telling me all about that, how successful.
It was. It was, I think it was one of our best ones, both crowd-wise and also our speakers and the education that we were able to present on, you know, several of the U.S. presidents and our surprise guest, who I can announce now since it's been, the cat's been let out of the bag at the dinner. We had a gentleman by the name of David Rice Acheson in appearance, and a lot of people aren't going to know who he was, but when James Polk left office back in 1845 and Zachary Taylor was to take his place as the newly elected president, Polk's term of office expired at noon on Sunday, and Zachary Taylor refused to be sworn in on Sunday because of his religious beliefs. So from noon on Sunday until noon on Monday, the acting president of the United States, quote-unquote, was a gentleman by the name of David Rice Acheson.
Oh.
Now, because of the rules of succession back in those days, it went president, vice president, president of the Senate, and then president pro tem. Well, it just so happens that Polk's vice president had left town on Saturday, and the president of the Senate had resigned and went home. So the next person in line for succession was the president pro tem, and that was Mr. Acheson, who was a senator from Missouri. So there's a lot of controversy as to whether or not he was really president or not, because he never took the oath of office.
Uh-huh.
However, during that 24-hour period of time, theoretically, he was the next in line. So on his tombstone, it reads, President for a Day.
Wow, isn't that something?
So I had someone there, Devin Hardwick, portrayed him for the evening, and he was our last speaker to present, a little speech. And I think it was quite an educational eye opener.
Boy, that would have been
the
yes.
Folks that were in the crowd. Uh-huh. We had around 300 people there that night. So,
oh.
But very well attended. The
okay, you want to hang
rifle was raffled off.
Hang right there, Ted. We're going to break, and we'll be right back.
Oh, sure.
Stay there. Charlie.
Okay. Do you know because of you, more Marian residents know that flipping the bird was invented in 320 B.C. than in any other county in America?
Yes, but I didn't tell you the rest of the story.
What's that?
At 320 B.C., in 1 minute, the fat lip was invented.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Okay, we're back once again. Fred Malone. Fred, Terry Klein did a great job, too, of videoing. What do you call it? You can't call it filming now.
videography, I think.
Yeah, videography.
The terminology that they use, yeah. If Terry's listening, I had a message from him with regard to that videotape. We've been kind of busy the last few days. But it was very well done. The gentleman that portrayed James Garfield, Jeremy Young, that's Doug Ebert's son-in-law, he is anticipating becoming the face of James Garfield at Garfield's home up in Mentor,
really?
Ohio. So the folks up there, I think, at the museum needed a videotape of him portraying Garfield.
Oh,
and so,
I see.
They had asked Terry if he would tape that for them,
yeah,
so they could have something for those folks up in Mentor. So hopefully everything went well. I thought it was very well done. We had all of our speakers were good this year. We had Garfield. We had Teddy Roosevelt. Teddy's always a big hit. You know, people like Teddy, and that was Brian Lovell that portrayed Teddy, he really looks like
him. He's really good, yes.
And, of course, our new Warren Harding, Scott Rankin from out in the country.
Right.
Did an excellent job. He has Harding down to a T, and he even looks like him as
that's
well.
That's great, yeah.
And then, of course, we had Mark doing Dwight Eisenhower, and Mark always does an excellent job as Dwight Eisenhower. He knows the history, he knows the person, and with the exception of being just a little bit short, he looks like Eisenhower, too. So.
Wow, okay.
And then, of course, we had Mary Ellen Withrow as our leadoff speaker, and Mary Ellen is always does a very nice job, and we certainly appreciate everything she does for Dinner with the President and for, you know, the Marion County Historical Society.
Right,
so,
right.
All in all, it was a great great evening. I counted up, I think this was our 11th annual.
Wow.
We actually started it in 2009, and there were a couple of years that we did two dinners when we had a really huge overflow. So 11 years and I think 14 dinners altogether.
Isn't that something?
And
that,
still going. And
yeah,
still
that's
going.
Great.
And I asked the crowd when I had my closing remarks, I said, we'll do it again if you want. And we got a big round of applause. So
good.
We'll start planning for next year just as soon as the year is over in January. I hope to have my lineup for next year set up by at least the 1st of February, because we always start getting calls for tickets actually the day after the dinner. I'm sure the girls got some tickets or got some calls yesterday.
Yeah. Wow, that's something.
Yep. So.
And Terry said the food was excellent,
the food
too.
It really was. I don't think there was anything bad at all there, and some unusual dishes, you know, based on some of the White House recipes that were used when the speaking presidents were in office. So, yeah, the catering company out of Upper Sandusky does an absolutely.
Yes, they were the same catering company that did the airport this year,
yes,
too.
Yes, right, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, and they do. They travel quite a ways to
do
catering. So, but they have a very good reputation, and we've used them for the last 10 years, and we'll continue to use them.
Well, that's great. Yeah,
want to travel down here. So, venue was great. Day Spring Wesleyan Church has a really nice auditorium or gymnasium, whatever you want to call it. But it seats the 300 people well. We have plenty of room. We're not crowded. Good audio system, and really no complaints.
Good to hear, yeah.
And I will plan on seeing you on the 20th of November, which is the third Wednesday of this month.
Okay, I'll write
we'll
that down right now.
Catch up on some other things. And got a lot of things that are going to be happening at Malabar in December for Christmas, so we can talk about those things.
Now, I did talk to you about the daughter of Louis Bromfield, didn't I?
Yes.
In fact, she passed away.
Yes, right. She had been, this would actually have been this past September when we had our big Ohio Heritage Days, would have been her year to come back. She usually came back every 2 years. And we were concerned because 2 years ago when she was up here, her health had started to fail, and then we're in touch with her and her husband and the family. In fact, her son was just up here last month for a few days and toured the house, and they were up here on business in New York and stopped by and visited with us. And so, you know, he had informed us that she wasn't very good. So it you know, it's always a shock, but it wasn't a real surprise because we knew her health had been failing. And
yes. Did she write a book about her relationship with her dad?
Yeah. She wrote a book called The Heritage, which really told the whole story of what it was like growing up, not only in France, but here in Pleasant Valley and being around her father. You know, there was a reason why one daughter moved to Brazil and the other one moved to Montana. Louis Bromfield wasn't the easiest person to live with.
I just got that, you know, you could tell.
Yeah. He was very domineering, and it was, you know, either his way or the highway. And
boy.
So, of course, the only daughter that stayed and lived with him up until his death was Anne. She was the oldest, and she never married. She was the one that had some mental issues. And,
oh, okay.
But the family never institutionalized her. I mean, she stayed with her dad, Claire, up until he died, and in 56, so, and then she went out to Montana to live with her middle sister, so anyway, that's the end of the actual line, you know, the three daughters
yes,
are
right.
all gone now,
for sure.
Of course, they have children and grandchildren, and we're going to keep those avenues open. Hope's daughter was here back during the summer, she actually lives out in Utah, and, we're going to keep those channels open and always make that connection. And Ellen, a portion of Ellen's ashes will be buried in the Olivet Cemetery on the property. So,
oh, great.
Yeah. So, and they interred some of Ann's ashes when Hope's daughter was back here during the summer. So the daughters are there.
That's
the
good.
The daughters are there.
Great.
So. Hey, Charlie, I'll see you on the third Wednesday of the month. And,
okay, hey, what about the rifle?
Oh, yeah, I started to tell you about that. the individual that won it was Cindy Hatch.
Okay.
Do you know Cindy? She works at the treasurer's office here in town.
Oh, yeah, all right.
Yeah, and she actually took the cash option, so I think the Historical Society is maybe going to do a silent auction type thing for it. And
that'd be nice.
Yeah, so if anybody's interested, I think they could contact the office and probably get more information on how that's going to happen and when and so forth.
Very good.
But, very nice rifle, 44 Magnum. It's a Henry, made right here in the United States, and with a very nice engraving of the Marion County Historical Society's 50th anniversary logo. So,
wow.
One of a kind.
Yes.
One
okay. Very
hey,
good.
Have a good show, Charlie.
Okay, Fred. Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye. Okay, Fred Malone. Okay, good. To get up to date on things, I was trying to think. I won't get much into it, but Terry Klein, who'd been kind of the go-getter for the airport doings every year, he's dropped out of the picture now and going to let the others take over. And Terry's done a tremendous amount of worry and work. Oh boy! So. Well, that'll be interesting to see what happens next year. Of course, the new administration building will be under construction here. I suppose when the weather warms up right now, the area where it will be is surrounded by a fence. But and I talked last night with my grandson, who is a maintenance man on the C-5M aircraft, one of the biggest in the world. And he loves his job, and that just, I couldn't tell him how much that pleases me. He just loves the work he's doing. Now, he does maintenance work. In other words, if a C-5N comes in and it developed some kind of a problem, they send him out and he takes care of it. And so it'd be nice to have him closer to home. He won't be back on furlough until April of next year. But hopefully he'll, as more experience he acquires, he may get advanced to Wright-Patterson, or maybe it will go to the other one, which is that where people fly out of all the time now. Yeah, where it's a National or Air National Guard air base down in Columbus. And all those need maintenance people. And I can't think of a better way for him to go, and that is to keep learning more on operations and maintenance and so forth. It was good to, I talked to him like quite a while last night. He said California is kind of a funny place to live in more ways than one. And most people tell you that California is, it's a little funny. I don't know. It's different. Traffic-wise, too. Oh, he said he didn't get too much of the smoke from the forest fires. They were just out of that range. But he said the wind has been horrible. Okay, it's now 10:41 Eastern Daylight. Is it? We're in Standard Time now, aren't we? Yes. Eastern Standard Time. I don't know if they're ever going to change that to have it one time all year long or not. I don't know if... Now, if any of you have any thoughts, opinions, anything else about last night's election, and the fact that if you tuned into this radio station, you got the coverage. That's for sure. And it wasn't until shortly after, a few minutes after 10, that all the results were released. And they were released all in one big glob. So, that's the way it is. And that's the way it was. So, in Marion, of course, if you're just waking up, Scott Schertzer continues on as mayor. Landon was elected the county, or the city auditor. Is that the correct job title? City auditor, in place of the other lady. And so it goes. And, of course, you saw it on television, a little bit of controversy considering Marion County and the fact that Landon and the Republican Party had passed out some white sample ballots. But they said sample all over. You couldn't mistake it for being a real... It was anything but a real ballot. Once you looked at it, it said sample all over the face of it. But you cannot pass out anything on white paper. You can on green, blue, orange, whatever. But you cannot use white paper to indicate a ballot, even though it said sample. So that's yet to be, maybe it might even get thrown out, you know, as a thing. I don't know. I didn't know that John Matthews was still with the local Republican Party. I think they have a new chairman, though, don't they? But he was mentioned in that case. Okay. Now, what else can we talk about today? Any questions? 740-383-9944. And if you listened last night to this station, you heard the complete coverage. You couldn't get more coverage than you did with us by tuning in. That's great. That's good. The fact that Scott and the crew could handle all this being dumped in their lap, more or less, because we were the only station doing this. That's good. Having that, like I say, dumped in your lap and doing a super fine job at it, that's great. All right. And what else can I ask you today? There was a out in Big Island, the little village of Big Island, there was a brick building on the right as you go west through town. Now, what phone company occupied that brick building? That's right. It was a particular phone company. Now, which was it? But they handled broadcast lines, long distance.
From NBC News, this is Today with Matt Lauer and Meredith Vieira.
Wow, that was a special morning doing the opening for the Today Show in 2011.
Yes, but you know what? There was a downside.
What was that?
Having to share a dressing room with Willard Scott. Smucker jars everywhere.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Okay, speaking of Dollar General, or was it Family Dollar, that just had a new apron put in front, as well as a Carlisle restaurant. Two new aprons that lead to Mount Vernon Avenue. And I don't know, there must have been one there before, because, boy, the State Department or State Highway people do not like anybody putting a apron exit out on the major highway. At least that's been their thought over the years. And that's why that place went out of business. It was, remember when we gave away all those donuts and they couldn't get a curb cut? And so they thought they could probably do a lot more business with a curb cut, but the state would not allow it because it would have put too much more traffic out there, and they would have needed another traffic light, I'm sure. Okay, now, what else? Let me see. Yes, there was once an egg plant out north of town where that flea market is now. Do you know what the name of that egg place was? 7403399 44. What was the name of the egg hatchery? I guess you could call it. They produced a lot of eggs there over the years. I knew the fellow that owned it. And do you remember? That was before the flea market started up. The egg factory. Yes, they had more chickens there than you could count, and eggs at the same way. And, of course, when you're raising eggs to sell in the market, you want only unfertilized eggs. So you don't want hens that have been around roosters. That's a no-no. And so wherever eggs are produced, you can't find a rooster anywhere. You just find them over in the corner crying, I suppose. Okay. So name the egg place where the flea market is now, or can you tell me the name of the phone company in Big Island that occupied that brick building which is still there? Or can you tell me the name of the corn company that occupied a lot of land north of Marion? A lot of young people worked there when they were in school or high school. Okay, so, and can you name, also, here's another. Can you name the restaurant that used to be at 309 and 37? That'd be north of LaRue. And right across from the mill that supplies eggs to all those unfertile hens. Yes. So what was the restaurant? What was its name right there at the corner, 309 and 37? I'm trying to remember right now. I forgot what it was myself. You'll have to remind me. Sally Ann's, that's what it was. Thanks. Sally Ann's restaurant at the corner of 309 and 37. That's the answer I was looking for. Sally Ann. All right. Oh, here's a caller. Okay. Yes, caller, go ahead.
The restaurant was Sally Ann's.
Yes, Sally Ann. You know, and later on, Bob Cook, I think, had that restaurant, or maybe before.
Oh.
And he used to have the cafeteria at the Wyandotte County Fair.
Oh.
Yeah. Would you like a prize today?
No, I'm not. I can't do
it. Oh, okay. Well, hey, thanks.
The egg place, was that called Anderson's?
Yes, it was Anderson's Eggs, yeah.
Yeah, it was right down the road, yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah, right.
Yeah.
Now it's a flea market.
Oh, yes.
Okay, very good.
Well, goodbye.
Thank you. Okay. Yeah. Anderson Eggs. Now, write that down. Because if you're not old enough, you wouldn't know. So if you write that down, those that's why those buildings are long. Those were chicken hatching, well, egg-producing buildings. So they were long, kind of like a hog barn. All right, got that. Remember that. Okay. Now, what creme, I'm trying to think now of another question. There is something you can buy or in a restaurant, in a good higher class restaurant, where they, I can't remember right now what it's called, but they use a blowtorch. That's right. They use a blowtorch for this particular item in a restaurant. What am I talking about? What is that item you would use a blowtorch on in a good, fancy restaurant? All right. 10:52 is the time. You know, time's moving right along. I'm surprised we haven't had any questions on the elections last night. I guess by now, if you listen to this station, you heard all the results. We also have a printout, or can look up the listing of all the races and all the levies anywhere in the county. We can do that. You could do it too by going into the election board and bringing all that up. But I guess the fire department in Caledonia, the first consolidated, rather dejected today because their levy failed. They would have built a new station, brought on more men and more equipment. It was rather expensive, and I can understand us older folk on Social Security have no means of increasing our income, but boy, there are sure ways to get rid of it. Okay, caller, go ahead. I think I just erased our caller. Call me back, 740-383. Yeah, here we go. Yes, caller, go ahead.
Is it cream brulee?
Yeah, yes, you're right, correct.
Well, I don't want nothing, Charlie. I'm just okay. Way along.
Well, thanks for being intelligent.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, that's cream de. It's a sugary topping on this cream in a ceramic it have to be ceramic or it'd catch on fire. And the waitress or waiter will pull this little blowtorch from his belt and go whoosh and add a little bit of brownness to that. And then you have the cream brulee. Yeah, cream brulee. Did that teach you anything? Well, I hope so. Let me see. It's now 10:54. What else strange can I ask you here? Okay, now here's one. The CDNM, the old streetcar line that left where the warehouse is now, it would leave there so many times every day and travel south, went down along Route 4, and went on into Prospect, and then out of there it went down to where? Did it go through Richwood? But it eventually ended up going down through another town south of Marion, And it's quite notable going through this little town. They had a high trestle built there so it could, I think, go over the Scioto River, for one thing. So what was the name of that town, South of Marion, that the CDNM straddled? Okay. Don't forget, too, the Neighborhood Supper, free meal, second Tuesday of each month at Trinity Baptist, starting next week. And also this Saturday, the big craft show and holiday bazaar with homemade noodles and a bunch of goodies at the Clarendon United Methodist Church. And the hours for that, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Okay. 10:56 right now is the time. Now, what was in that brick building at Big Island on Route 309? It's on to your right as you pass through Big Island. It's an empty brick building. What was in there? Okay, well, we found out the Sally Ann was the name of the restaurant at 309 and 37. And it's kind of interesting, too. At the last that restaurant was in use, they couldn't pass some kind of a test, so they had to cook outdoors. Yeah, that was the most unusual thing you've ever seen in this restaurant, and they're doing all their cooking or your meal outdoors. Oh, here's somebody. Okay, go ahead, caller.
Hey, Charlie, that building out there to Big Island, that was GTE back years ago, wasn't it?
Well, back years ago, it wasn't GTE. No, I don't know if it ever was.
I'm thinking it was. No.
No. I used to deal almost every day with the men that worked there.
Yeah. Oh, I'll have to give up on that one. Okay. I thought I know the answer.
Well, I'll mention it here in a couple of minutes.
All right. I'll be listening.
Okay, thank you. Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah, that building is still there. And the men that worked there, Stoney and Dallas. And I used to call them almost every day. Stoney, I need you to reconnect our line for a remote broadcast or whatever. And Stoney would do it, and then we'd check everything out. Yeah. Stoney and Dallas probably are long gone. Good morning.
Okay, the building on 309, was that the electric company?
No, it wasn't the electric company. No, it was a telephone company.
Oh, a telephone.
Yeah. I'll tell you here in just a minute or so.
Okay.
Yeah. That was big time. I mean, that building was very, very important because broadcast lines went through there. Whenever we did a broadcast, a basketball or football game in Lorain, Sandusky, anywhere north, east, or west, they had to manage the lines that we used for the broadcast. And I used to sweat blood. Whenever I went out to do a broadcast with Ed Paulin, I was the engineer, of course, and it was my job to make sure that that line was connected to the radio station. And sometimes I had to call the people at that building and say, hey, I'm not connected. Can you patch me in? And they would. Yeah. I'll tell you the name of the company here in just a minute. And no longer there. I had an uncle in Detroit that worked for a similar kind of installation. My uncle in Detroit handled cross-country broadcast lines. He told me once, he said, if you ever hear a kind of a funny sound on the line, a little tick, that's when I switched from one line to another. Okay, that building in Big Island was the Ohio Bell Company. The Ohio Bell Company. And the main guys there were Stoney and Dallas. Okay, now, it's time that we have some of the latest news that is news. Oh, we have another caller. Can I take this in a couple of... Yes, caller, go ahead.
Was it the Bell Telephone Company?
Yeah, Bell, Ohio Bell, yes, you're right. Yeah.
I don't know how I remember that because I hardly ever went through New Brunswick.
Yeah, that's right.
During
Okay, well, thanks a lot. Uh-huh, okay.
I should say.
Yeah, Ohio Bell. That was a long time ago. I started in 1952 dealing with those men in that building. Wow.
You're listening to WWTH Radio 107.1 FM, LP, Marion, Ohio. The Talking Place. For people like legendary comedian Shecky Green telling the funniest talk show story of all time about guest starring on Fantasy Island.
It all started.